Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Begin our reading here. He says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Don't you notice the word Spirit there is in capital S, referring, referencing the Holy Spirit. "He that soweth to the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "shall of the Holy Spirit reap life everlasting." The Holy Spirit of God will live in the heart of the believer and will dwell there forever. But he says in verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." There have been some seasons, some times over these last 8 years of the birth and the beginning of the Heritage Baptist Church that we have at times grown weary. Didn't want to, didn't mean to, but it just happened. Trials have a way of invading our life without an invitation. Trials and testings come from, no doubt, from God. And there are times that through these 8 years, and I'm sure in the days to come, there will be some more times that God will prove us. God proved the Israelites. There in Deuteronomy talks about that. He said, "I've led thee through the wilderness," God says. It was God's leading them through the wilderness, that terrible wilderness wanderings. But it was their sin of disobedience that kept them there. But God didn't lead them, and God took care of them, no doubt about it. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy that God says, "I did this that I may prove what's in your heart." And there are times that God will put us to the test. That's just simply what that terminology, that word "prove," means, that God will put us to the test to see whether or not we really mean business. I was telling Titus the other day, and he was excited about an opportunity to do something for the Lord, and that opportunity, the door closed. And I told him, I said, "Well, there are times that I have learned over the years of serving God that God will test me to see whether or not I'm just willing. And if God sees that I'm willing, that's all God wants to know, whether or not I'm willing. There may be a time God may speak to your heart and you may think God wants you to do certain things and you're a little maybe apprehensive because of what God has put it on your heart to do. God may very well stop you from doing that. God may just want to see if we're willing to do that. And I told him, trying to help Titus with that and encourage his heart, and I thank the Lord for that. I'm glad God is able to teach us lessons that we can in turn turn around and teach somebody else what God's taught us. That's the way this thing operates. And that's the way this thing works here. But here, no doubt, there have been times of weariness, times of burdensomeness. But he says here, "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." If you have a habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to circle the words "in due season." In due season. I want to talk to you just for a few moments and preach a thought and a truth that God's impressed upon our heart today. Write this title down, if you will: Right Place at the Right Time. Being at the right place at the right time. There have been times that I was, in my life of 51 years now, been at the right place at the right time. And those times, I look back and I see they may have been very few times, but I'm glad for those right places at the right time. There have been a lot of days in my 51 years of living that I've been a day late and a dollar short. Can I get a witness there? Amen. And I tell you, listen, we've missed out sometimes on opportunities. We've missed out on deals and sales. And you ladies can help us out saying amen right there, because you know all about those deals and things. Listen, there's no better feeling to know that you've hit it right. I mean, you are right there at the right place at the right time. Maybe somebody bought your meal at a restaurant and you was at the right place at the right time. Maybe it's at a gas pump and somebody walked over and said, "Here, let me buy you some gas." You was at the right place at the right time. Maybe you're somewhere along the way and someone just stopped to help you. Maybe you're broke down beside the road and you thought, "How can that be the right place?" Well, it was when you got the witness to that one that stopped by to help you. Maybe you had an opportunity to lead them to Christ. You was at the right place at the right time for that person. And so there are right places and there are right times. God says there are due seasons. God says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in the right place at the right time ye shall reap if ye faint not." Now, ladies, we know that you know all about bargains. You're looking for the right place at the right time. You know all about coupons. You're a coupon clipper. I can see it on your face, written across your forehead. Coupons, come to mama, amen. I mean, listen, you get the Salisbury paper, the Concord Tribune, the Charlotte Observer, and listen, you look at your husband and say, baby, I don't want anything, just give me the coupon section. You know you've got it bad, amen. But you know all about being there at the right time and the right places. Men, we know all about it, about meals and deals and thrills of the hunt. And we think, man, we were at the right place at the right time. There's nothing like that feeling, and it's not like being there. But in the Bible, God mentions the word season or seasons, plural. Here in our text in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, notice again the expression, in due season. The word season, you may want to write this down there in your Bible to give you this biblical definition of this word season to help you down the road. It just simply means a set time. It means a proper time. It means, thirdly, an opportunity. God says, listen, don't get so weary that you quit. Don't get so weary you throw in the towel. Don't get so weary you jump ship. Don't get so weary, friend, that you faint or you lose heart in your ministry or in your marriage. God said, in due season, at the right place, at the right time, God will give you benefits and reaping for what you've done for Him in His name. And so many times, if we're not careful, we'll miss our season. Listen, I want to admonish us today on this 8th homecoming Sunday right here at the Heritage Baptist Church to be found faithful. And in being found faithful will keep us in the right places at the right time. The set and proper time, the opportunity that God gives us. Just by way of introduction, let me say, no matter the geographical location that you may find yourself in around the world, God is the same all over. Listen, you may feel empty today, or you may feel full. I want you to know God is still the same. Listen, you may feel sick today, or you may feel well. I want you to know God is still the same. You may feel afraid, or you may be at peace today. Whether you're fearful or at peace with God, listen, God is the same. You say, Pastor, I'm in a valley. Listen, you may be in a valley, but someone else say, I'm on the mountaintop. May I say, God is still the same. No matter where I am, be it night or be it day, God is still the same. He said in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So God is the same. And here God was trying to encourage these Galatian Christians here who had been reintroduced once again to the law. And He's trying to instruct them about serving God and living for God, not under the law, but under grace. You realize the law can't save us. The law can't set us free. Only the law can sentence us to death. The law condemns and the law kills. But it's grace that sets us free. Listen, let me give you a few things here this morning about being at the right place at the right time. There are some seasons in our lives that we can boldly say that I was in the right place at the right time. Number one, I want you to write this down if you have a habit of taking notes. Number one, write down the word salvation. Salvation is just simply being in the right place at the right time. I want you to hold your place in Galatians. We'll come back here in just a moment. But turn with me to Acts chapter 24 today. Acts chapter 24, just after the Gospel of John, just before the book of Romans. Acts chapter 24. Notice, begin our reading in verse 24. Acts 24:24. When we talk about salvation, and we're not talking about joining a church, we're not talking about some kind of schism or ism, catechism, confirmation. We're not talking about the Lord's Supper. And listen, we're not talking about water baptism. We're talking about genuinely being born again by the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary for our sin, placing our faith and trust in what Christ did on the cross to atone for our sin and for the sin of the world. That's what true salvation is all about. It's about trusting Jesus as Savior. But there is, number one, about salvation. Let me say there's a convenient season. There's convenient season. We talk about in due season. For some people, it seems that there is, in their mind, a convenient season. Look at Acts 24, verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Notice old Felix thought in his heart and mind that he had time to get right with God. He thought, "I'll not do it today. This is homecoming day. I'll not do it now. My wife's with me here. I'll not do it here. I got to wait on a Sunday so I can go to some church or some synagogue." Listen, old Felix said, "I tell you, Paul, not this time, not this day. I'm looking for a convenient season, a proper time, a set time, a better opportunity to get my heart right with God." May I say this morning that Felix never surfaces again on the pages of Scripture. May I say this morning that Felix may very well be in a devil's hell this very hour, pleading and crying and agony and mercy, where there is no mercy, there is no forgiveness, there is no hope, there is no help. He's there because he looked for a season that was convenient for him. I want you to know, listen, friend, we find that Felix here had the gospel preached to him. He said that Paul was talking to him, verse 24, about faith in Christ. And has Paul reason of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come? Old Felix was put under Holy Ghost conviction. He began to tremble and he said, "Go thy way. Get as far away from the man of God as you can. Get as far away from the church house as you can. Get as far away from the Bible preaching as you can, Paul." And he said, "I am waiting on a convenient season." But that season never came. We never hear of Felix. I hope and pray that he is saved. But we never hear of Felix trusting Christ as Savior. Go over to chapter 26 and we meet another king by the name of Agrippa. In verse 27 of Acts 26, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Realize this morning that the longer a sinner rejects the Christ that can save, the harder their heart becomes. And the harder their heart becomes, the more easier it is the next time to continue on rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. There won't be pretty long that, listen, Jesus won't even bother them again. The Spirit of God won't even draw them again. Listen, if you're not saved by the grace of God, I tell you, the Holy Ghost of God taps your heart, convicts your heart. You better get in while you can, because you're at the right place at the right time. Listen, there are times that you, if you're not careful as an unsaved person, listen, you can cross that deadline, as J. Harold Smith said. You can cross that day of grace and send away your day of grace, and God never deal with your heart again. You better get in while you can. Amen. You're at the right place at the right time if you're not saved this morning. And there's no better time, no better place to get in than right now. Old Agrippa said, "I'm almost persuaded." Listen, almost is altogether lost. There are a lot of people in hell today almost persuaded. There are a lot of people in hell today looking for a convenient season. They're looking for another time. "Let me sow my wild oats, preacher. Let me live a little bit. Let me get all the gusto I can when I get old and frailed and feeble. I've lived my life with frills and thrills and feels. I'll begin to think about God." Listen, God said, "Boast not thyself tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Listen, if you're not in, you better get in today. This is the right place at the right time for you, friend. There is convenient seasons. Then number two, dealing with salvation, there are converted sinners. Turn with me right quick to 2 Corinthians. Hold your place in Acts. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice one verse here, then we'll go to the book of Acts right quick. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. We talk about a convenient season. Right place at the right time. He said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, And in the day of salvation, have I secured thee? That word secured just simply means run to the aid. I'm glad God ran to my aid when I cried out to him for mercy. He said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There were some folks here in the Word of God. You're still there in the book of Acts. Hold your place there. Go back with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 5 right quick. Look in Luke chapter 5 here. We're going to illustrate here three folks here that were at the right place at the right time. Old Felix there and Agrippa, listen, it was the right time, but they were at the wrong place in their life to receive Jesus Christ. They didn't want Christ, didn't think they needed Jesus. And there's a lot of people around the world don't think they need God, don't want God. And I tell you, listen, that's a sad life to live. A life lived for Jesus is a life worth living, amen or not. But there are some folks don't think they need God. But here we'll meet three of them right quick that understood that Christ is what they really need. Look in Luke 5, verse 4. When he had left speaking of Jesus, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and they let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Go back to verse 5. Notice what Simon called him. Simon called him who? Master. It's amazing when you study the New Testament, those that were non-believers, like Judas Iscariot, always refer to Jesus as Master. But once they got birth into the family of God, saved by the grace of God, they no longer referred to him as Master, they referred to him as Lord. And here's Simon, if you'll understand the scripture here in context, Simon is an unconverted fisherman. He's an unconverted man. He's a heathen. He's lost without God. But yet Jesus steps in his boat. Hallelujah. Jesus steps in his boat here. He comes to where he is, just an old salty dog, if you will, lost without God. And Jesus steps in his life at the right time and at the right place. And Peter's life met him where he was in a boat here. And Peter let down the net. Look on there, please, in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Oh, who? Lord. Oh, Peter just got saved by the grace of God. He recognized that he was lost and wretched, and Jesus was holy and the Savior. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, Lord. It's amazing how God can change your life in a moment. To be absent. Listen, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. If you've never experienced a change in your life from the inside out, friend, listen, I want you to know there's something wrong with your salvation. Listen, what Jesus does, he does it inwardly and works it outwardly, and he does it eternally. Thank God for that. But old Peter got saved. You. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying he's at the right place at the right time. Go back to Acts chapter 8 right quick. We know the story here. I'll just paraphrase it right quick and bring you up to the scripture. And old Felix was preaching a revival, folks getting saved, and God tapped his heart. The Holy Ghost said, I want you to go, and you'll find the Ethiopian eunuch sitting up there in his chariot. He'll be reading the book of Isaiah. I want you to go talk to him about the Lord. Old Philip comes out in Acts chapter 8 there in verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And he got there, verse 32, and began to read there the Lamb's chapter out of Isaiah 53. Began to talk about the Lord Jesus and how he bled and died and became the sacrifice for sin forever. And here in verse 35, the Bible says, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. They came to a body of water. And the eunuch said, what hindereth me? What holds me back from me being baptized? Look at verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized, and they came up out of the water. What are you saying, Pam? I'm saying this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, was at the right place at the right time when it came to salvation in his life. And friend, if you do not know Jesus today, you're at the right place. This is the right time. Don't put it off any longer, friend. But we find the testimony of the saints of God. They were right here. And listen, old Peter minding his own business. Then Jesus stepped in his life. Thank God for that. Here this eunuch here riding alone in his chariot, trying to understand the scripture, trying to find the truth, trying to get some peace in his heart, but he couldn't. Here God sent a man of God, and the man of God ran to meet him right where it was and got up in the chariot with him, friend, and began telling him about Jesus. And right there at the right place at the right time, that old Ethiopian eunuch got born again by the grace of God, followed Jesus and believers' baptism, and became a great man of God for the glory of God. Right place at the right time. You're there in Acts. Look across the page there in chapter 9. One of the greatest conversions in all the history of the Bible here is the conversion of old Brutal Saul. When Brutal Saul became Brother Paul. And listen, he was going down to Damascus there in Acts chapter 9 verse 1. He was going down to do what? Kill some Christians. He despised these Christian people. He was going down breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And as he was going down the road, guess what happened? At the right place, at the right time, I mean the Holy Spirit of God, God himself smote his heart. Paul kicked against it. Paul pulled against it. Paul struggled against it. And he said, Paul, you're not doing any good, friend, kicking against the pricks. And listen, old Paul yielded his will to God, got saved by the grace of God, became the greatest Christian we'll ever know in this lifetime. Why? Because there was a right place and a right time in Paul's life in regard to salvation. Listen, let me ask you this. Do you have that in your life? I remember April 11, 1982, as a 17-year-old young man there in Salisbury, North Carolina, off I-85, exit 79 on 830 Shope Road, Salisbury. I remember that Easter Sunday morning, friend, lost without God, though a church member, lost without God, though I'd already been baptized, lost without God, though singing in the choir, and yet lost without God, but that became a right place and the right time when God moved in my heart, God moved in my life, and when God moved in, the devil moved out, and God changed me, and I've never been the same since. Because it became a right place at the right time in my life. Number two, write this down. Not only do we see the right place and right time for salvation, but we see the right place and the right time for service. Let me ask you this question. You're saved by the grace of God. Let me ask you, what are you doing for God today? What are you doing for the Lord? You serving God? You living for God? You taking God for granted? Listen, what are you doing with your Sundays? Think about that. What are you doing with the Lord's Day? I want you to notice there in your bulletin, everybody should have received a bulletin when you came through the door this morning, and you'll see a caption here in your bulletin on the right-hand side of the page at the top. What does it say, James? Prayer. Serving the Lord through what? The local church. God honors service through the local church. If any ministry is disconnected from the local church, it's not the ministry that God's going to bless. It may be man blessed, but it will not be God's blessed. I tell you, listen, you ministry through the local church. You serve God through the local church. Get involved in the local church. And listen, what are we doing with our service for God? What are we doing with our Sundays? I'll show you the Bible, the right place, being at the right place. At the right time. Turn with me right quick. You're still there in Galatians. Go back to John chapter 20. Notice in verse 1. John 20 verse 1. Here Mary Magdalene, one of the converts of the Lord Jesus while he was here upon the earth. Jesus had bled and died on the cross. Had given his life for the sin of the world. They put him in a tomb. Back in February this year, I stood there in that tomb. And friend, it's still empty. Amen. Matter of fact, there's nothing in there. It's clean. Clean and dry, the tomb where they laid the Lord Jesus. But here the Bible says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. It was yet dark, the sepulchre, seeth the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. What is that important, preacher? What's the significance of this? She came on what day? The first day. What is the first day of the week? Sunday. It's not Saturday. Saturday is the Sabbath. Saturday is the last day of the week. Saturday is the Sabbath day, per se. You go over there in Israel, and they recognize the Sabbath day. They build no fire on that day. If you're going to eat, you're going to have to eat sandwiches. You're going to have to eat canned stuff. They don't light a fire. They don't light their stove until 6 p.m. that night. We stayed there in the motel. We went to breakfast. We had sandwich stuff for breakfast, cold cuts. We went for lunch, cold cuts. Supper time come, man, they lit the fire up after 6 p.m. Sabbath was over. Man, we had us a good meal. You get on the elevators, and they had two there in the motel. Only one was allowed to work on the Sabbath day. They even gave their elevator day a rest. And listen, the one that did work, it might as well not been working itself. I mean, it drug like a snail going up the building. I mean, we just drug, and I thought, man, it's going to take us an hour and a half just to get up to the seventh floor here. But here we find that here Mary comes to the tomb on the first day of the week. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we meet on Sunday. We're here. It's called the Lord's Day because this is the day that He rose from the dead. This is called the Holy Day. Sunday, as the old timers said, this is called we go to meeting day, is on the Lord's Day. I want you to turn your place right quick to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. You want to know where the right place is and the right time for you on Sunday is? You want to know where the right place for you is? You want to know what the right time for you on Sunday is? Right here at the house of God. It's not down at the lake. It's not the mountain. Not the coast. Not the ball game. Listen, it's not out mowing your grass, hoeing your garden, pulling your weeds up, bathing in the sun. Listen, friend, it's about being the house of God. He said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more exhorting and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He said, listen, you want to be at the right place at the right time for you and your family? Listen, that's at the house of God on the Lord's Day. And all God's people said, amen. That's exactly right. Be in the house of God. Serve God. What about your service? Listen, get in the house of God and give all your Sundays to God. Give it all to God. And you honor the Lord, and God will honor you, friend. God will honor you, no doubt about it. He says here, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. And that's what we do here. We assemble ourselves together on the Lord's Day as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more, not less, but more. We don't need less. We need more preaching. We need more witnessing. We need more Sunday school. We need more soul winning. We need more choir, more Saunders family singing. Amen. We need more of God, more of each other, more of the Lord's word in our, so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is that day? That's the coming of Christ. In this dead hour, God says you'll need more of it rather than less of it. When we think about salvation, we think about our service. God has put in our lives the right place at the right time. Let me give you the last one right quick. Turn in your Bibles. He said there, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Turn with me right quick to James chapter 5. Not only do we see the right place and right time for salvation, not only do we see the right place and right time for service, but thirdly, we see the right place and the right time for the soon coming of Christ. He says here in James 5 and verse 7, look there, please. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Remember that due season? It means a set time. It means a proper time. It means an opportunity. Only God the Father knows when the Lord Jesus is coming. God Himself, even the Lord Himself there in the Gospel of Matthew said, For no man knoweth the hour save the Father only. Only God the Father knows when the Lord Jesus will come again. He knows that day or hour. For the Bible says, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. There will be a right place at a right time. And he says in verse 8, be also patient. The word patient means has the idea of being still. Be established, strengthened, strong in your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Three things quickly about this soon coming of Christ. Number one, We know what the Bible teaches, first of all, about the rapture. Turn your Bible just briefly and quickly here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We talk about a great homecoming. Listen, you think this is great today. You wait to heaven. You wait till we get home with Jesus. Amen. You wait till we see loved ones who have gone on before. I appreciate the Saunders family. I really do. They've been such a blessing to me personally. They've helped me pastorally. They brought some godly singing in here, godly standards and morals and character and convictions. They've been such a blessing more than they'll ever know. But I remember my mother was diagnosed with throat cancer. She had a tumor, squamous cell carcinoma, growing in her throat. Eventually it would cut off her airway and eventually it cut off her ability to swallow and eat. So they had to go in and cut a hole and put a trach. And after that, they had to put a feeding tube. They kept telling me and my wife and brother and sister that it would be a few weeks now. A few weeks have passed. We go back to the doctor. A few more weeks. She only lasts a few. And we just kept going like that. Emotional roller coaster. Emotional roller coaster. And I literally watched my mother die, be honest with you. Not just in the hospital that week that she was there for a whole week before she passed away. But I literally watched her die riding in my van, riding my vehicle, going back and forth to doctor's appointments, staying with her overnight there in the hospital, hearing her first word after she got the trach put in. She couldn't speak, but she could talk through putting her finger over that hole there, and she could say a few raspy words. And the first word she said was, "I love you, Jesus." In the middle of the night, laying there in the hospital, I lay beside her bed in that recliner, those comfortable chairs, amen. And I heard her say, "I love you, Jesus." Amen. And I thought about as they were singing that song, the only thing that matters when this life is over is that we know who Jesus is. And I remember when my mother was sick, I asked Brother Saunders if he and his family would come over after morning service. We all come over and sing to my mother there in her little single wide mobile home. She didn't own anything. She didn't even own that home. She was living there. Her brother owns that home. She didn't have hardly anything to her name. And I brought them over. They stood there in the living room and sang these songs to my mother that you heard today. And they sang that song, "What Really Matters in This Life Is That I Know Jesus." And that song blessed my mother's heart so much. That meant so much to her heart that she realized that life is about to squeeze. Death is about to squeeze life out of me, and I'm about to go to be with the Lord. And I remember that Thursday before she passed on that Friday. You know, she came back to consciousness, if you will. She was out of it for 3 or 4 days there in the hospital. My wife will testify to this. My brother and sisters were there. She came back. She opened her eyes. When she opened her eyes, she had such a smile on her face. She was looking at something that we could not see. She was mouthing something that we could not hear, but she was talking to somebody that was on the other side of the curtain of this world. She was looking at somebody that was on the other side of Jordan, friend, and she looked at me and she said, "Praise God." I mean, she raised her little bony hands up. She prayed, "God." And she kicked the cover off and threw that big old leg of God out. She said, "Watch out." She got stirred up in her heart because she began to see a land that was fairer than day. She said, "I, by faith, I've been walking. Now I see it somewhat." I can't explain all that to you, but I was there and I watched her with excitement in her heart. Oh, being at the right place at the right time. Oh, what will it be, friend, when the Lord comes in the rapture? He said there in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17, "Be not ignorant concerning those which are asleep." And he said the Lord will come with a shout and the dead in Christ arise first. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. What do you say? I'm saying that'll be the right place at the right time when the rapture happens. And then we know him. After the rapture happens, we go to be with Jesus. We go to the judgment seat to be rewarded for the deeds we've done since we've been saved. We go to the marriage of the Lamb, and while that's happening in heaven in the realms of glory on this earth, there will be 7 years of tribulation, the first 3.5 of tribulation, the second 3.5 of great tribulation, and God's wrath will be poured out on this earth again. God will deal with man. And then at the end of the 7 years, we have not only the return or the rapture, but now 7 years later, we have the return. The rapture is the saints going to be with God. The return is God, Jesus, coming with the saints back to earth to set up his thousand millennial reign upon this earth for 1,000 years to rule and reign. Listen, it'll be in the right place at the right time, no doubt about it. Let me close here. Sometimes we can be at the right place and at the wrong time. It's like James was the other week. God spared his life and God overruled. He was at the right place, fixing to make a left turn, going to work, minding his own business, praise God. And somebody not paying attention, running 40, 45 miles an hour, just run all over him. And you drive a little Camry Toyota, there's not much room to give, amen. And just slap ran all over me. It's the right place, but it's the wrong time. But I'll tell you, listen, there are times in our life we are at the right place, but it seems like we are at the wrong, but it's the wrong time. Timing is everything. It's called due season. That's what he says in Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in due, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season, at the right place, at the right time, God will reward you and you will reap. Should have note, it's the right place and the right time of salvation. And that serving God, give God your Sundays. The soon coming of Christ, it'll always be the right place and the right time. And when we're at the right place and the right time, listen, we shall reap if we faint not. Let me give you this thought here. Some believers are living the fainting life. Maybe that describes you today. You're living the fainting life. That word faint not, the word faint means to lose heart. Maybe you've lost heart. Maybe you've lost heart in your marriage as a husband and wife. You need to get some things straightened out with God. Maybe you lost heart in your ministry. Maybe your heart's not in it no longer. Maybe you're just half-hearted, half-caught, going at it, just throwing it all together. It doesn't mean much to you no more. It's gotten old. It's gotten dull to you. You need to come and ask God to refresh some things. Ask God to revive some things. Because, listen, you're just going to go through life living a fainting life because sometimes you find yourself at the wrong place at the right time. Listen, and you should be serving God with your lives and for God. Then there are some believers who are living the faithful life. The faithful life because they've been found faithful at the right place at the right time. And I don't know where this message finds you today, but I think about what God is saying to us here in verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. These past 8 years, again, of the birth of Heritage Baptist, Independent Baptist Church, we started with 11 people there in the Holiday Inn Express off Del Arte Boulevard, I-85 southbound. Every Sunday, we would go in, we'd have to tear down chairs and tables in that conference room. It was a 28 by 24 conference room. My wife and Titus at the time, and Charity, when she was off working there in Tennessee, we'd go in, vacuum that floor. There are times they had parties in that room, we'd have to pick up food and crackers and crumbs and plates and pizza crust and drinks and all these different things. Had to clean it up, vacuum it out, set up chairs, set up church, set up a podium, and have church. We had a 20-minute Sunday school class from 10:30 to 10:50 because we couldn't start meeting there until 10:30. And so I said, we're going to have Sunday school. So we had Sunday school from 10:30 to 10:50, 20 minutes. Took a little short break, started at 11 o'clock. I led two congregation songs. I sang a special if my throat could hold up to it, and I preached a message. I couldn't preach as loud and fiery as I do now because I got a little bit more room to stretch out. Amen. Plus, I didn't have 300 people sleeping over my head. You understand that, the motel. And so I had toned it down a little bit, and we'd talked and preached and done little things and gave an invitation. We'd go, and Brother Joe and some of the other, Brother David, they'd come, and we'd meet and go knock on doors. We'd meet on Monday night or Tuesday night or Thursday night, whenever we'd go. We'd meet there in the lobby, gather, and we'd go. We used that building as a church. We'd have Wednesday night services there. We had 3 services a week there at the Holiday Inn Express. We was the smartest church in the county, friend. You'll get that tomorrow on Slow Freight if you ever seen that commercial. We were there. We're serving God, knocking on hundreds of doors, giving out gospel tracts, talking to people about God, telling them about the work. We were able to leave our sign up in the lobby there. At that time, we called it Heritage Baptist Chapel because we was an arm, an extension of Shining Light Baptist Church out of Monroe, where my brother pastors is a church plant out of that church. So we were an extension there. We were there meeting. We met there for a year and a half. Talk about some weary times. It became weary. Every week's tearing down, setting up. Tearing down, setting up. We had the biggest baptistry pool in all the county. The big old swimming pool out back. Our children's Sunday school and our children's nursery was in the breakfast room. They let us use the breakfast room for the nursery. They were so kind to us there, and I thank the Lord for them. I'll never forget the kindness of a lady there. She was a black lady. Her name was Pat. She was always so kind. They'd always have popcorn they popped for the guests to eat. But she would tell me, she said, Pastor, I'm not going to start the popcorn machine until you're through preaching because I don't want to distract the people that are sitting in that room listening to you when they smell popcorn in the lobby. And she just brought a little boy to our church service, and he sat there and heard us sing and preach. We had just a great time. We'd go on Wednesday nights, and whatever food they had left over there, that a buffet, she'd bring it, just give me boxes, a couple boxes of pizza. Said, here, take it home with you. You talk about being in the right place at the right time, hallelujah. Amen. We'd get the spoils, amen. And they were just so kind. They'd have cookies out there, and they'd invite us to come get cookies, and they really worked with us there. Then God opened a building there, a 3,000-square-foot building in Rymer, 6 miles up the road where my father and my family's from, the Cruises. We met there and talked to them about renting that building from them. And my heart was, we'll never be able to do it unless God helps us. And God stepped in, and what we were renting the room for was the same amount we was going to rent this big building for. We were already paying that rent, and so we were already used to paying that amount. And that guy said, we can rent it for this. I said, are you serious? So we moved right in there. We had upstairs, downstairs, we had a big open bay garage. We called that our gym, our fellowship hall. We were on the church plant and had a gym, a family life center out there. Amen, if you want to call it that. I mean, we were big time, friend. Big old junkyard around, if you know anything about that place. Nothing but wreck cars. That's where they bring all the wreck cars, and they auction many of them off on Tuesdays. Some guy came and said, this is nothing but a junkyard. I said, well, some people got graveyards. We've got a junkyard. Amen. We'd go and preach. We was there 3 years, working and laboring, witnessing. We were able to have meetings because we were in technically our own little building. We didn't have to work around the Holiday Inn schedule. So we technically had Bible school. We had children's Bible school there. We saw boys and girls come. Listen, when you start with nothing, you don't have something. Little things like that become big things for you. And to be good for some of you and some other people, listen, if they'll just go back and remember what they didn't, what they used to not have, what they didn't have. We didn't even have a hymn book. We didn't have nothing. We borrowed hymn books from a brother. We borrowed a podium from a brother's Sunday school class. We didn't have anything. We didn't even have no music for a year. We found out one little girl there that came 3 weeks after we started there, and she came and we found out she could play the piano. We put her on the keyboard. We had a little keyboard there at home when we was in the Holiday Inn, and we put her on the keyboard. And she could peck around a couple hymns there. We'd sing those same hymns about every week. We'd go to this office building over here, and somebody, I think it was Dave and Phyllis Gillespie's daughter-in-law, Crystal, gave us a piano. It was the exact kind of piano that I wanted. Amen. Exactly, just like I wanted. Amen. And God gave it to us. It was just like the one I wanted. Amen. Wasn't it, Lisa? Amen. Just like we wanted, God gave it to us. But God gave it through Crystal Gillespie, Brother David Phyllis's daughter-in-law. She's been here many times with little Levi, and she gave us our first piano. Brother Joe built me a pulpit, so I had my old pulpit. Y'all sang there in that building. Got a pulpit, borrowed chairs from my brother's church, had hymn books from their church, took up a little money, bought our own hymn books, the Sword of the Lord hymn books like we have here in our pews. Never had a choir. I was singing again, all the songs, leading the singing, teaching the Sunday school. We were able to have a full Sunday school. I was doing all the teaching, all the singing, all the leading, all the preaching, and I thank the Lord for that. It was some weary days, I tell you it was. It was taxing physically on your voice, everything. You'd give and go and never cut any corners. You'd never cut any corners. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it right. Never cut no corners. We did it right. Then back in 2012, in January, we all know what happened. God brought us together. When I look back over these 8 years, there have been times you want to get weary, wore out, discouraged. And you wonder, Lord, did I miss something? Did I misread you? Did I miss a direction? Lord, I'm out here somewhere in this vast ocean, in this little boat, God, it seems, by myself. Lord, what's going on here? I need you, Lord. I need your help. And little by little, we went from the Holiday Inn Express to a bigger building. And then now we're over here. And here we are. And here we stand today. And I praise the Lord for that. I was standing in the hallway just the other day. Last Sunday morning, the Sunday school was going on. I was listening to our Sunday school teachers. And at the same time, I could hear James, hear Lisa, I could hear Charity, I could hear Joe, Miss Earlene, and I could hear Brother Rick out here. And I stood there in the corner. And I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me some people to help me. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't quit. When the devil many times jumped up on my shoulder there at the Holiday Inn and said, you're the biggest fool in the county. It'll never float, it'll never go. And he's right, if it was built on me, it would go. And I tell you, listen, I stood there and I thanked the Lord for every teacher God gave us. I thought, God, you'd be so good. There have been times I look over here watching Miss Pat play, and I said, Lord, thank you for a piano. I mean, we've got a baby grand place, God, piano here. Just like I wanted. Pat plays at every service. We've got music every service. There was a year or so we sang everything without music. There's nothing wrong with that. We just, you have to ride the horse that shows up, amen, to the race. We had that. I mean, I could talk here all day. This is a special day for us. When we look back, just how God been so kind to us. And when you start with nothing but just something in your heart, you believe at that time that that's what the Lord wants you to do. You see, the will of God is not a geographical location. The will of God for my life is to preach. God's called me to preach. And I'm going to preach wherever it is and wherever I am, whether it's here or around the world, I'm in the will of God. Because this is what God's given me to do for my life. It's not a geographical location. It's not here, there, whatever. But God leads and God brings things together, puts things together. Only God could do what he's done here. I'll tell you that. Then I stood here today by this choir and I watched them sing. They tell me sometimes that I'm not a singer, but I'm just here to help you. I say, you're doing a good job. God keeps a record of that. But I stand here and I look at this little choir we've got. It's a big choir to me because we never... There's a time we didn't have nobody. You understand that? When I walk across this property, I see just what God's done and I thank the Lord for the blessing of God. Listen, there is a due season. God said, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't you think serving God is well-doing? He said, in due season you shall reap. If you faint not, God's given us some folks to come along and help us. Give us some folks to run a van route. I watched that van run out today, Brian and Summer. I thought, there they go. We'll pick up them boys and girls that we love so much. We thank the Lord for. We never had that before. Now here they go. Folks, help us here and there and praise the Lord for the folks, the ladies that serve the Lord in the nursery. I mean, how'd you like to have the nursery in the breakfast room? Remember my wife, I'll tell her right here. Just because you're in the breakfast room don't mean you can go up and help yourself to the breakfast bar. One Sunday morning, we was there at the Holiday Inn Express, and she thought, well, I didn't get nothing. I'm just going to go get me a cinnamon. Was it a cinnamon roll? Off the breakfast bar. She stuck that fork in there. A lady came out there and she said, "Those are just for the hotel guest only." They said, "What?" Took her little fork out of there and left it laying there. And so she got caught right there. Got caught with a cookie. Hand the cookie jar. Be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. But you know, listen, the Lord just so kind. Charity got working there at Holiday Express, and that's another story in and of itself, and probably a nightmare for her. She probably thought she was in purgatory if there was a purgatory, but we know there's not. But anyway, but God just so good. Sometimes we need to be reminded just how far God brought us and what God's done for us. And every one of you are a vital, important part of this ministry here. There's not one in here that's greater or lesser than the other. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Whether you serve the Lord in the nursery, whether you vacuum this floor, or preach a message, or sing a song, you're just as important in this ministry. You help it go. You help it go. And now look, we've got an internet radio broadcast. We've got a local radio broadcast. I mean, God is just so good. We've got revival meetings, and God works here, and God. I mean, we've got missionaries now that we never had before. We've got a faith promise. I mean, listen, when you don't have nothing, and you start with nothing, then you see how God, you stay in the right place at the right time, and how God just blesses your heart. I remember the servant here, and I'll close with this. I remember the servant there of Abraham going to find a bride for Abraham's son Isaac. And the Bible says, or he testifies and says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Let me encourage you this morning, Heritage Baptist, and those who are listening, stay in the way of God. Stay in God's way. God will bless you, and God will lead you, and God will help you, and God will benefit your life, no doubt about it. And this homecoming day is a very important day. It's a great day for us. We look back, and then we focus on our future, what God has for us to come yet still. But let's do all that we can to admonish one another to stay in the right place at the right time. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not.